Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
All the way from Taraba State. Amazing man. You know, I call this divine connections kind of thing. I was preaching one day on the Sunday service and somebody else came and sat down. I think he sat down where he was sitting there. He's where he's sitting there right now. And immediately he came in, something just struck my heart about him. And before I finished preaching, he had left. Only for someone come to meet me and tell her that the man that came here that was a preacher and he was really blown away by my message. And I said, serious, okay, I need his number. I didn't know that you knew him. Give me his number. And I called him. I spoke to him. And while I was still speaking to him, he just came to my heart to invite him for the All Believers Prayer Convention. And I'm someone that tried to yield to God every time I sense his God that is calling me. So I yielded to God and I called him and told him to come for the All Believers Prayer Convention. And today he said, let me just read a brief profile while we're getting to come. He's a prophet by calling. Hallelujah. Pastor Tudi Gambo Hiko has been in active ministry for over 20 years, ministering healing, deliverance through the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. He has traveled far and wide, preaching the gospel of Jesus with accompanying signs and wonders. He has ministered in several conferences, churches, campus fellowships, crusades, and revival meetings, mainly in northern Nigeria. He is the coordinator of the School of the Spirit and Revival Arena, a platform through which he dispenses his mandate. Pastor Tudi is a graduate of the University of Jos, where he obtained a BSc in Political Science and MSc in International Relations and Strategic Studies. He served as an attaché chaplain with the military for a few years before he voluntarily disengaged. Pastor Tudi's ministry trust is focused on organizing outreaches to win souls for the kingdom, organizing revival meetings and crusades. He's a prophet by calling and an intense worshiper, graced with the ability to revive believers' intimacy with God. Let me say that again. He's a prophet by calling and an intense worshiper, graced with the ability to revive believers' intimacy with God. He's currently serving under his spiritual father, Abba Kafas, at Risen with Christ Triumphant Ministry, Taraba State. He's a married man with kids. I want us to just rise up on our feet with Jesus' joy as we welcome Pastor Tudi Hiko to minister to us. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir.
Hallelujah. If you are happy tonight, can you put your hands together for the Lord? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord.
You are glorious. Glorious in your way.
Spirit. We want to thank you for a moment like this in your presence. Thank you because you are here to do us well and to do us good. Thank you because unto you shall the gathering of your people be. We are trusting you tonight to take us deeper. You will take us to a realm we have never been before. Let the floodgates of heaven open and let it rain upon every one of us. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' most wonderful name we have prayed. Amen. Let the people of God shout, Amen. God bless you. You can take your seats. I trust the Lord to be very, very brief tonight so that we can go and rest for tomorrow morning and the program for tomorrow. I want to begin by appreciating God's servant, the lead pastor here, for the opportunity and the platform and the privilege to come and be a blessing, even as you also will be a blessing to me. Amen. Amen. Few months ago, one of my daughter who lives, spiritual daughter who lives in America, organized a program in Enugu here. So I came and I ministered. So that was on Saturday I finished the program and my flight was on Sunday morning. So this wonderful brother here and his wife accommodated me. So I told them I want to just come and have fellowship in your church before my flight, before I leave. So while I came in, I sat down here. And the servant of the Lord, I was asking them, where is the pastor? They said, he's the one here. I said, this is the kind of people I want to relate with. Praise the Lord. I am not saying to put a special seat somewhere for a spiritual father is wrong. But in some places, it can be intimidating. When you come, you feel so. But when I came, I sat down. He said, he was in the same row you sat. I said, you mean it? I said, these are the kind of people I'm looking for. And he was preaching. He was talking. I was looking at the time, the flight. So I had to just leave. When I go to the airport, they say, the flight has to be in the evening again. I say, Lord, and I miss this teaching. And from there, we got talking. I can tell you that he's such a humble servant of the Most High. Can we clap for the Lord for him? In Ezekiel 37, we learned how the bone was connected to the bone. When you meet somebody that you carry the same vision, you don't need to struggle to connect. Are you hearing me? He just saw me, something told him, this person, invite him. And when I saw him, something told me that there will be a connection between me and him. Praise the name of the Lord. So I give God the glory. Thank you so much, sir, and your wife, and the organizing committee of this convention, and the entire church. Thank you very much. My family sends their greetings. Like he said, I came all the way from Taraba State by the grace of God. Amen. I want to also appreciate our spiritual parents here, the guests that are also seated here. God bless you. Thank you so much for taking out time to come. Like I said, I will be very, very brief. Now, the theme for this conference or convention. Sorry, I'm coming. Is spirit, that is the spirit and the bride, says what? Says come. Now, the theme gives us the picture of a very deep intimacy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This theme gives us a picture of a very deep intimacy between man, that is the bride, and the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. And by the grace of God, today I will be talking to us on the topic that says, come up higher. Come up higher. Amen. Amen. The Lord is looking for men and women that will never get satisfied with the level they are. No matter where you think God has placed you, don't ever come to the place where you say you have arrived. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is calling us to go higher, because it is in that place that the real fellowship, the real intimacy takes place. And so by the grace of God, I will try to see how we will talk about the theme and then about the topic together, as the Lord will help us in this short time that I have. Praise the name of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, that's where you'll find my topic. Come up higher, and I will show you what? Great and mighty things. But for you to see these great and mighty things that the pastor has been laboring to help us understand, you have to come up higher. Praise the Lord. You have to leave this baby Christianity. You have to leave this elementary reign, this low reign, and go to a place that the main thing is happening. Hallelujah. So I will also try to help us see from the Old Testament tabernacle, and trusting God to see how I will relate it to our own lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle is segmented or divided into three categories. I know a lot of us know that. We have the outer court, we have the holy place, and we have the holiest of all. And thank God that we use this, you know, gathering, this setting, you know, to give the example of how the tabernacle in the Old Testament was or was structured. Now, I said it's divided into three segments, and each of these segments, you know, is a particular reign. It talks about reigns in our Christian lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now let's look briefly at what you can see in the outer court. Exodus chapter 38, verse 9 to 20. I will just give you the scriptures. Go and read them. In the outer court, Exodus 38, 9 to 20. Then Exodus 27, 9 to 19. Exodus 27, verse 9 to 19. And Exodus chapter 26, verse 9 to 19. Exodus 26, 9 to 19. Then Exodus 36, verse 8 to 38. Exodus 36, verse 8 to 38. Now, the outer court is an open place in the tabernacle. It's an open place. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, and it is also the place of first encounter, meaning that is the place of the born again experience, which in the Old Testament is called the Passover feasts. Okay, we have the Passover, which has to do with the outer court. We have the Pentecost, Feast of Pentecost, which has to do with the holy place. Then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, that is Feast of Ingathering, where God begins to do great and mighty things, mind-blowing things. Are you hearing it? That is the holiest of all, Holy of Holies. That is the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, I say the outer court is an open place, open space, meaning everybody can go there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a place where man begins to approach God. That is the place of born again experience. And the outer court, in fact, the entire tabernacle has only one gate. And that gate is facing the east. And you know, Jesus is that gate. Everything about the tabernacle is a typology. It speaks a lot about Jesus Christ. Okay? So the tabernacle has one gate. You will see that in Exodus 27 verse 16. Exodus 27 verse 16. And John 14, 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way." Okay? So Jesus is the way to the tabernacle. But one thing you must know is that the tabernacle is a place of the crowd. It's a place where you have different kinds of people. It's a place where every other person can stay there. Are you what I'm saying? Even in the life of Jesus, when he was ministering on earth, there was a time he would take his disciples to the mountain. And when he takes them to the mountain, the crowd doesn't go there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What he tells them up there in the mountain, the crowd are not privileged to hear or to see. So it's a rain. There is a rain for the crowd. There is a rain for the 12. Even the 12, it gets to a stage where he had to just select 3 and say, go with me. Even the 3, there is another stage that he had to tell them, wait for me here while I go further. So it's rain by rain. The more closer you get, the more intimate you get, the more deeper and higher he takes you. Praise the Lord. So in the outer court, in this rain, you do a lot of talking and asking. In this rain, you are there. A lot of people are there, not because they really love God. They are there for what God can offer them. Some people approach Jesus because they need healing. Some because they are hungry. And they told them, if you follow this guy, after a while, he will command food to come from heaven. He will eat. And so those almajiris that don't have food will just follow him and provide. And they go. Some people will just get their healing and go and forget about him. That is the reign of the outer court. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So as we keep hearing, the Spirit of the Lord will keep pushing us deeper and higher in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, it is an infant stage. The outer court is an infant stage. But one interesting thing about the tabernacle is that God is in the midst of all these 3 stages. You can find God in the outer court. You can find him in the holy place. You can find him in the holiest of all. But then, it's in levels. How he reveals himself to the crowd is different from the way we will later see how he reveals himself to the Levites or the priests. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, some of the items quickly you will find in the outer court that speaks a lot to our Christian life. Some of the items you'll find, some of the things, the moment you get to the outer court is like this crowd, this congregation. Let's say this is the outer court. And in the outer court, there is a veil, okay, that separates between the outer court and the holy place. And then there is another veil that separates the holy place from what? From the holiest of all, holy of holies. So what happens in the outer court is not seen, or what happens in the holy place is not seen by the outside or the outer court. Is that okay? Now, but one thing you need to know, like I said, is in all these stages, you can still find God expressing himself in a greater dimension. One of the things you see in the outer court is, number one, you see the altar of sacrifice. Okay? Or altar of burnt offering. That is, it talks about where you become born again. On that altar where Jesus sacrificed himself. Is that okay? And you'll find that in Exodus chapter 30, verse 1 to 10. Exodus chapter 30, verse 1 to 10. So when you get to the outer court, as you are entering inside, the first thing you will see is what? Is that altar of sacrifice. That place where you sacrifice your life, where you become born again, where you offer yourself unto who? Unto the Lord. The second thing you meet in the outer court is the brazen laver. Okay? It's like a container where you come and you do all your washing. Okay? Like ablution. You wash your hands, you wash your legs. Okay? And you know that Jesus is the water of life. Is that okay? And so this washing is also the washing by the blood. And so when you get to the outer court, as you offer yourself on that altar, what happens? You are also required to come and wash yourself. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Okay? He said, if you are not born of water and what? And the Spirit, you cannot enter, or you cannot see. So this is what it's talking about. This brazen laver is a picture of what Jesus told Nicodemus. So when you get to the outer court, these are some of the things you find. Number three, when you get to the outer court, this is very, very important. The light that gives direction to people in the outer court is the natural sunlight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Take note of that. It's the natural, because it's an open field. So they need the natural sunlight. So it means the moment it is night, you can't find people there. They only operate in the daytime. When there is what? When there is sun. Can you see their limit?
Yes.
These Christians, it will get to a particular time, you can't find them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They depend on the natural sunlight. That is to say, a lot of them depend on their human ego, human strength, human senses to achieve what only God can achieve. And I will tell you why I said that as we move on. And you'll find that in Exodus chapter 30, verse 17 to 21. Exodus 30, 17 to 21. Then we move forward to the holy place. I'm just trying to tidy up, then I will just make some few statements and we pray. Now, the holy place, you'll find that in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. Now, take note of this. In the holy place, it is not an open space or place like the outer court. Take note of it. It is not an open place or open space like you have in the outer court. Now, in this reign, the number of people is limited. Not everyone is permitted to get there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is only some selected people, the Levites and the priests. So, you see, the more you get closer with God, the more you enter into partnership with the Holy Spirit, the more you drop anything that will weigh you down. The more you let go things that are not of Him. Are you hearing? So you leave the realm of the crowd. As you behold Him, like in a mirror, you are being transformed. Hallelujah. From one degree of glory unto another. Now in this, as you are proceeding, as you are approaching the holy place, you look around. There are friends you must quit.
That's right.
There are associations you must let go. There are certain characters you must trust God to drop them. Because what is permitted in the outer court cannot be permitted in the holy place. Because to whom much is given, much is expected. Hallelujah. Now, as you keep drawing nearer, as you keep building this spiritual stamina and this partnership and intimacy with the Holy Ghost, He begins to drop everything that will weigh you down. And the holy place, like I said, is a realm of the Pentecost. In the holy place, that is where you experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You experience the gift of the Spirit. You experience the move of the Spirit, which may not be found in the outer court. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You begin to see tangible manifestation and result. Now, I want you to take note of the items you will find in the holy place. Number one, the items, some of the things that God instructed Moses to make and keep in these different segments. Number one thing you will find in the holy place, which is very significant to our Christian life, is you will find the golden lampstand or the candlestick. Hallelujah. The candlestick to give you light. Now, in the holy place, they don't need the natural sunlight for them to operate. So, in the holy place, you know, in the outer court, I told you, once it is night, they don't operate again because it is dark. They have to wait till the morning. But in the holy place, There is no particular season where you will say you will withdraw. In the holy place, as you get there, God said to Moses, tell them they should make a lamb and ensure that they put oil in it daily. There must be light in the holy place. So you see, in this rain, God is expecting us, the light in us, must be shining daily. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, in this rain, in the holy place, you know, in the outer court, I told you are permitted to do all the talking and all the asking. It's just like a little child. He likes demanding. Daddy, I need sweet. I need biscuit. And you keep giving the child. Not because you want to spoil the child. Because that is the level. It will get to a time, the child will cry for you, tell him, I will not give you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So in the outer court, God will permit you to do all the talking, do all the asking. In the outer court, it's all about selfishness. It's all about I, me. I want this. I want that. You only talk about yourself. The flesh is still very much active. That is why when you are in the realm of the outer court, you will stand up and sing, and then you will fight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You stand up and do other things, and then you can lie. You can compromise just to achieve something. It's the realm of the outer court. The flesh is not properly worked on. It's not properly dealt with. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 has not taken place in your life in the outer court, which says, it is no longer I that lives. Is that okay? The life that I live now, I live it to the glory. It's the life of Christ in me. Hallelujah. So as you keep beholding him, as you move to the holy place, those characters will start dropping. And then the character of Christ will begin to rub on you. Praise the name of the Lord. Daily oil is needed to light up the lamp and to light up the holy place. They need the light from the lamp to see. Are you hearing it? They need the light to see. We need the light of God. We need the light of God for us to be able to discern, for us to be able to see clearly. There are a lot of things happening in this life, in this world today, that without the light of God, darkness will overwhelm us. No wonder I say light shines in darkness, and darkness argues it not. Darkness comprehended it not. When we begin to operate in this realm, hallelujah. Now, in this realm, God requires a lot of commitment from us. In the outer court, the priests and the Levites don't need to set any light. The sunlight is there for them. But in the holy place, it's a place of commitment. Daily commitment. Daily service to the kingdom work. That is why it was instructed. God said to Moses, instruct Aaron and his sons and the Levites that the fire in the holy place must not dim, must not quench. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You'll find all this in Exodus 25, verse 31 to 40. Please, when it is time, coordinator should help me by indicating. Exodus 25, 31 to 40. Then Exodus 27 verse 20. Exodus 27 verse 20. Exodus 25, 31 to 40. The second thing you find in the holy place is the table of shewbread. The table of what? Of shewbread. Now the shewbread talks about the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. In the outer court, you don't spend time with God. You don't care. All you need is give me, give me, give me, give me. But when you get to the holy place, you begin to value his word. You begin to value God. You begin to fear God. You begin to love God. And as a result of that, you begin to go into his word. Hope you know that the word of God is the map that contains everything about your life and life. If you want to know the map, the roadway to your destiny is right there in the word of God. So the table of shewbread, God said to Moses, tell them they must prepare this bread daily and they must eat. The bread must not decay. The bread must not spoil. It must not get rotten. They must eat it hot. Hallelujah. All these are the requirements given. And so you must value, you must cherish the word of God. Hallelujah. People in this realm, they grow not by what they are asking God, not by the miracles. God, I need miracle, I need miracle, I need miracle. No, they grow by the content of the word of God that they eat. Hallelujah. In this place, the word of God begins to become you, and you begin to become the word. Meaning, as you begin to speak it, it is no longer like in the outer court that is empty. It's not an empty word. Here, there is a relationship that you have built over time with the Holy Spirit. And so he has to honor your word. As you speak it, it what? It happens. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Amen. The third thing you will find in the holy place is the altar of incense. Altar of incense. You remember Romans chapter 12 said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, what? Holy and, as a what? Living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. Praise the Lord. So, you see, in this place, there is more. God told Moses, tell them they should be moving with incense, okay, and let it bring a good aroma and a good smell into the holy place. Now, in this place, that's when God begins to work on your character, and your character begins to become a good, sweet smelling fragrance. And people see you, they say, this one is a child of God. You didn't preach to them, you didn't say anything, but from your character. Hallelujah. From your character, they will begin to see what? They will begin to see Christ. That is the altar of incense. Exodus 37. You'll find that there. And it is a place where we are consumed by God's holy fire. We are consumed by God's zeal and passion. The zeal and passion for the things of God begins to take over us. Praise the name of the Lord. Maybe as I move further, I will give you some few testimonies of some of these things I'm talking about. It is a place where we are beginning to place our lives on his altar. Now, in this reign, in this holy place, we are God by the Holy Spirit is beginning to teach us how to say, it is not my will, but your will be done. It is not my will, but your will be done. But in the outer court, you know, it's all about your will. It's all about what you want. It's all about how you want it. It's all about you. But as you move on, God begins to tell you, see, it's about me. It's about me to you. It's about my will in your life. It is a place where you want to become a doctor, and God said, no, I want you to become an engineer. It is a place where you want to go and work in so place, and the Holy Spirit say, no, this is where I want you to work. Now, it is a place where everything you think you know, your will, your emotions, everything is buried in him. It's being silenced. Praise the name of the Lord. And as you keep obeying, as you keep following his instruction, you keep going higher. Because see, it is in that high realm, or higher realm, that great and mighty things are taking place. It is there. Don't forget the Revelation 4:1. It said, come up higher, and I will show you what? Great and mighty things. Why didn't he say, stay where you are and you will see? No, he knows that you need to go up for you to be able to see. Praise the name of the Lord. I trust God that this weekend, the Lord will take us higher. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's go to the main one. The Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies. Then tomorrow morning, we are going to look at the garment of the priests and the priest himself. When a priest stands before God, what and what happens? Hope you know you are the priest I'm talking about. Hallelujah. You are the priest I'm talking about. When you stand before God, what happens? You will see from scriptures that even the garments of a priest is very, very important. The colors in the garment, the things that make up the garment, and then how the priest need to prepare before entering into the holiest of all. Now, I want you to take note also. In the holiest of all, Read, put down Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 10. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 to 10. Hebrews 9, 1 to 10. Exodus 25, verse 10 to 22. Exodus 25, 10 to 22. Now, I want you to take note. In the holiest of all, there is no lampstand, no candlestick. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. There is no candlestick like in the holy place where God said to Moses, tell them to prepare a lamp and put oil in it. In the holiest of all, that is the last stage. This is the outer court. This is the holy place. And where I am is the holiest of all. In this realm, there is no lamp. No lamp must be found or seen there. There is no natural sunlight. And in this place, there is no crowd. Only the high priest is permitted to what? To enter there. It is a place of total surrender. I mean total, not partial. In the holy place, your flesh is beginning to be dealt with by God. But in the holy place, your flesh is not even existing. God has silenced completely your flesh and your will. So it is a place of total surrender. In this place, like I said, the flesh does not exist. Your will dies the moment you get there. Amen. Now, the priest must not talk or say a word here. This is very important. You see, in the outer court, that is where the children of Israel bring all their supplication. They bring all their offerings. They will make complaint to the priest and the tribe of this, and we need forgiveness. The tribe of that one, we need God to bless us. So the priest has to listen to everything they have to say. Are you hearing me? Then he prepares. The Bible said once in a year, the priest enters into the holiest of all. So it will take him 1 year to listen to their complaint. And then he prepares. The reason why he has to prepare is because in that realm, God will not tolerate any mistake in that realm. That is why as the priest is entering into the holiest of all, they will put a very long rope. They will tie it here on his leg. Very long rope. Because if he messes up inside, or if he does something that is not correct and God kills him there, you cannot enter and remove him. Hallelujah. So you have to pull him. Maybe if the priest spend days that you think maybe he has overstayed there and you want to know whether he's alive or not, you do it by what? By drawing or dragging the rope. Once he's able to drag it to you, you know that he's alive. But the more you keep dragging and it's coming, you know that God has finished this man. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, it's a very dangerous stage. It's a very critical stage. But then, this is a stage that brings about the manifestation of the sons of God, where we begin to make generational impacts. Are you hearing me? Where we begin to transform lives and generations. Now, before the high priest gets into that place, I told you, they have to prepare him for 1 year. Tomorrow, I will be talking to us in the morning on the garments of the preparation. And with the garment alone, if the high priest stands in the holiest of all, the garment alone, which speaks of character, is enough to bring down the glory of God. Without him, see, in that holiest of all, the priest doesn't talk. That is why I will show you from scriptures in Leviticus chapter 8 verse 23. In Leviticus chapter 8 verse 23, before the priest enters into the holiest of all, they will sacrifice a lamb. Are you hearing it? They will put one of the drop, a drop on his right earlobe from that scripture, right earlobe. One here and the other one his big toe. Do you know why? Because in the holiest of all, they don't have to put it here because the priest will not talk. They will only put it here. Are you hearing it? So that as he gets into the holiest of all, by the blood of the lamb, he will be able to receive clearly and properly whatever God will be saying to him for the people.
So the blood needs to be applied here. So that the Lord will tell him, the tribe of Judah, go and tell them this, go and tell them that. And he must not forget any. Can you see? In that place, there is no human effort. He's not even permitted to write down notes. The hands of the priest will be like this. All through. If God will keep him for 1 week, the hands will remain like this for 1 week. And then the Lord begins to speak. And then the blood here also speaks of ministry. Speaks of ministry, service. So the Lord has to anoint his hand with the blood. And then the legs also talks about walking with God. Walking properly with God. So the priest has to be anointed with blood here, here, and here. And then God begins to speak to him. And let me tell you something interesting about the holiest of all that will shock you. As you keep reading these scriptures I'm giving you. In the holiest of all, there is no space for ventilation. The place is made in such a way that is so congested. And God told the priest, even in that place, you must not sweat. The condition for a priest entry into that holiest of all is that he must not sweat. What does that mean to you? It means it is not about human struggle. It has nothing to do with human struggle. You must not sweat. It is written there. With all the regalia, with all the clothes, layers upon layers that make up the garment, God is still telling him, as a priest, you are not permitted to sweat in that holy of holies. That's powerful. Hallelujah. That's powerful. And that is the place God is taking me. That is the place God is taking you. See, in that place, I told you, we don't need the lamp. We don't need the sunlight. God becomes the light. The moment the priest stays there, God comes down in his glory and he becomes the light. That is the beauty of the holiest of all. The high priest must behave well. Okay? He must behave well before he enters. Because inside there, he's not permitted to talk. God will respond to what the people have said. I heard when the tribe of Judah said this, when the tribe of Dan said this, okay, go and tell them. I will deal with that one, but for that one, I forgive you. For this one, I'm blessing, I will bless you. God begins to speak that long, you know, time of interaction. And yet, God expects the high priest to remember everything. In that rain, like the lead pastor said, it's going to be a rain where God will release his manifold wisdom. The wisdom of God comes upon you. Even in your academics, you become super excellent. Because it is not about your ability. It is about the ability of Christ that works in you. Hallelujah. So you see, the priest has to prepare and enter there. And he does that once in a year. You can imagine someone will prepare for something for the whole year just to enter once. And then if he enters and make any mistake, he's in trouble. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Like I said, there is no window, no space for ventilation. Yet the priest is not permitted to sweat. Because in that place, you cannot say it is about your ability. Amen. And guess what? In that place, the whole crowd is gone. You know, in the holy place, you can find like 8 people there. But in the holiest of all, alone with God. You and God. You and God. And that is the place God wants to take us. It is not about crowd. Some of us, we can only pray like this when we're in the crowd. But our secret place is dry. And let me tell you, the greatest place to receive spiritual stamina and strength is not here. It is in our secret place. You can imagine if I go to my secret place and I generate power. You generate power. You generate power and we mix. What do you think will happen? That was exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost, that they said the building was shaking. The building shook because in their various homes, they came charged when they came to pray. The devil knew that something had happened. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The glory of God is the light in the holiest of all. And the priest must be well dressed. He must be well dressed. And guess what? There is only one thing you can find in the holiest of all. And that is the Ark of the Covenant. That is the only thing you find inside the what? The holiest of all. And the Ark of the Covenant also represents what? The presence of God. The glory of God. So you see, God is taking us to a realm. Hallelujah. We are going into a realm where we can have intimacy with the Spirit, with the Father. And then we say, the Spirit and the Bride says, come. Hallelujah. You can only call somebody that you have deep intimacy with. Praise the name of the Lord. Deep intimacy. I'm talking about this Revelation 22:17. It's talking about a level of our intimacy with the Father. To an extent that we can suggest things to Him. We can call Him. We can have fellowship with Him. And then things begin to happen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, this generation that we are, I'm telling you the truth, the enemy is reinforcing by the day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And we need to advance. For us to be able to deal with his strategy, we need to advance. And the only place to do that is when we come up higher. See, there are things God wants to show you. I will give you a few testimonies. Whenever I go to the presence of the Lord to do my personal, not morning devotion and evening devotion. I'm not talking about what. I mean your own personal moment with the Holy Spirit. Do you know? It is there the Holy Spirit will begin to tell me, I'm not comfortable the way you spoke to that person in the afternoon. The way you spoke, it was so harsh. Can you take it easy? He will even tell me, go and tell the person sorry. And I will go. But to me, in my own flesh and whatever, I've not seen anything wrong in the way I spoke. But he talks to me there. In that secret place, he will tell me, tomorrow as you are going out, you will meet somebody putting on this kind of clothes. This is what the person is going through. Tell the person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you go to spend time with him, I'm telling you, nations will look for you. Sometimes when I go to spend time, with all humility, I'm saying this. I have received 28 invitations to outside country to go and preach. I was ministering to some brethren in Pakistan 2 months ago. Let me tell you, doors are open. Doors are open. God is doing great and mighty things in this generation. Mind-blowing things will begin to happen. Men will marvel. They will say, you remember in Acts, is it Acts chapter 4? The Bible said, are these not the men that turned the world upside down? They turned the world, their generation, upside down. I see God raising that kind of people. The generation of men and women that all that matters to them is his presence. See, in the holiest of all, you have nothing to brag about. In the holiest of all, material things and things of this flesh has been dealt with. With all humility, I will say this. I don't know if that my spiritual daughter is around. Dorcas, where are you? Sorry, don't feel embarrassed. Stand up. She also came from Taraba for the program and because of the family here. She will bear me witness in Taraba State now and in few other places. They cannot decide who becomes governor without coming to see me. How did it come to this level? Because I spent time with God and God gives me correct word. Do you know that there you have the solution to what is happening in Enugu State? You can decide who becomes who in this state. I'm telling you the truth. In the Old Testament, you don't choose a king or anybody without the prophet speaking. Hallelujah. So you see them rushing, you see them coming. What is God saying? And just between December last year to this year, some of these big politicians come, they dashed me, they gave me gift of 5 cars. 5. Each time they come, God said, don't collect. Each time they come, God said, don't collect, man. He said, don't collect. Some came with some money, millions like that. I say, what for? They say, just prophecy. And I was like, Mashatalia. I was like happy. God said, don't collect. Are you hearing me? To an extent that I have taught my wife, if anybody brings money in my absence, she will say, can you wait for me in the parlor? She will go to the room. Lord, what should we do? The Lord will say, don't collect. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And do you know what? I don't have a car. I don't have a bike. And the Lord said, don't collect. Do you think it's wicked? When these politicians go back, they would give my phone number to another one. They say, that man of God. Hi, integrity. See, integrity matters in this kingdom. It's not as if I don't need a car. But see, I have come to a place. Material things does not move me. Because God is pushing me to a place. The only thing that matters and moves me is His presence. Take away everything. But I beg of you, leave the presence for me. No wonder in our meeting, she's my daughter, she attends my meeting every Monday. We do a program there in Taraba State. People come from different places. Sometimes I will be ministering, they will bring cripples, they will bring the deaf, the blind. I am in the course of the ministration, somebody will say, I am healed. My eyes got opened. How did it happen? See, the presence of God is contagious. When you carry the presence of God, you will go to a place. The same place Mr. A goes to and it didn't work, you will enter without speaking a word and things begins to happen. That is the rain. That is a place of transformation. God wants to take you there. He wants to show you great and mighty things. Things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. With all humility, I'm saying all this thing. See, the lead pastor talks about the dimension, three dimensions of the glory of God. One of it, he said, the power of God. People have not seen anything yet. We have not seen what it means to have the power of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Like I said, 2 months ago, I was ministering to some brethren in Pakistan. A Muslim was brought to that place who had a very serious infirmity. He was blind and he had some other infirmities. I was just ministering, ministry. And before I knew, he got healed. His eyes got open. I was not even praying for the sick. His eyes got open. As I speak with you now, he's a convert, he's a believer, and he's going through discipleship class. See, this Jesus we are talking about, he is real. When you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, do you know, whatever money I have in my account, I don't see it as my own. Some of you are only born again in other things. When it comes to your pocket is not born again. You struggle with the Holy Spirit. Any money that comes into my account, I tell my wife, we go before the Holy Spirit. Because I learned this from Acts chapter 16. The Bible said the disciples were writing a letter. They were replying a letter of maybe some particular issues that was brought before them. So in that letter, they said something. They said, it pleased us and the Holy Spirit to write you this letter. I said, what? It pleased us and the Holy Spirit. It means when they were writing the letter, the Holy Spirit was in partnership with them writing that letter. I said, oh, that means I have nothing of my own. So when I receive OC alert, I don't get moved. Even if it's millions, I don't get moved. I just look at it. Holy Spirit, this is our money and you. What do we do with it? He will tell me, carry 30,000, go and give that pastor. Carry 50, go and give that pastor. And he will leave me with 5,000. And there is need of 200,000. Can you see how he works? But a lot of us, God has to work on us. In the aspect of money, in the aspect of material things. Some of us we love God, but at the same time, we love the things of this world. We can go for the things of this world and forget about the things of God. But when you get to this realm of the holiest of all, I'm telling you, all those things will not make noise in you because God will deal with them. In this place, it is a place of deeper work. We got the way you think. You don't think like chickens. You think like an eagle. In this realm, you do things, you obey the Holy Spirit, everything He says. That's what you do. But a lot of us, we struggle in obeying Him. And let me tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. Whatever you think you are doing, if it is not in obedience to Him, forget it. You are on your own. It will get to a point where spirits and principalities will challenge you. They will say, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. What about you? Who sent you? Because you are acting in disobedience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So all these things I'm teaching us or sharing with us today is to tell us that, in conclusion, we are the tabernacles. We are the temple of the living God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then God wants to dwell in us. The Holy Spirit wants to dwell. See, He wants to. And let me tell you this as I round up. There is what I call spiritual intercourse. Do you know? Sorry to say, married people. I mean, responsible married people. The real place of intercourse is in the inner chamber. Is that okay? Yes. It's in the inner room. Is that okay? Yes. Now, as at the time when a husband and a wife meets, it is not in the eye of the congregation. It is not in the eye of the people. Is that so? Yes. But by the time the result and the fruit will come, all eyes will see. All eyes will know that this woman is pregnant. Let me tell you, don't rush. Don't rush. Don't rush. Some of you are rushing to jump into some ministry. You are rushing. Come on, take it easy. Take it easy. You are in a stage of spiritual intercourse. And anything you do now, you can have a miscarriage of what God has put in you. You have to be very careful the way you live your life. There is a stage. Moses was moving in Exodus chapter 3. He was moving everywhere in the bush. When he got to a particular stage, God said, stop. You must remove your shoe and walk on barefoot. What does that mean? It means that God is telling him, okay, now I want to walk on your flesh. I want to walk on your character. Can you imagine? He was moving in the bush, but when he got to a particular place, God told him, stop. This place you are is a holy ground. See, there is a realm you will reach in God that God will not tolerate some things. I'm telling you the truth. Imagine somebody like Uzzah, when the ark of the testimony was falling. He had the best of intention. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He went to protect. But what happened? God killed him. God killed him. There are things you cannot help God to do that. You allow God to walk in you. What God wants to achieve in our life this weekend is that He wants to make a people that He can present. Do you know? It was when Jesus humbled Himself before John the Baptist, and then He was baptized, that the Holy Ghost came. It was when the Holy Ghost came that a voice was heard from heaven. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. That is what God wants to do for you and for me. He wants to present me. He wants to present you. He wants to say, these are my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to them. No wonder when you go in Acts chapter 10 verse 38, it says Jesus Christ of Nazareth, being anointed of the Holy Ghost and power, he went about doing good, healing all that were sick, casting out demons. Those that were oppressed were set free. Why? Because God presented him. God approved him. God commissioned him. Some of us today, we are doing a dangerous work. God has not approved us. And that is why I was teaching some group of pastors. I said there is a difference between God calling you. When He calls you, He asks you to sit down. Then He sends you. But some, when He called them, they did not sit down. They send themselves. And that's why you go into trouble. A lot of trouble. So I pray that the Lord will help us. We just started today. And I trust that as we keep moving by His Spirit, hallelujah, as we keep pressing on, as we keep pushing, as we keep going, the Holy Spirit will take us to that place where flesh will not make noise, where flesh will not exist, where activities of darkness cannot overtake us, in the name of Jesus Christ. And light will shine in darkness, and darkness will not comprehend it. Stand to your feet as we begin to talk to God in prayers. Shaka.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.